This morning, we are continuing with our preaching series, which focuses on the Lord's Prayer. It's taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. I ask that you please stand as you are able for the reading of the Gospel. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and the doers of this word. Let us pray. Living and loving God, we come to you today needing and expecting to hear a word from you. I pray that you use me, in spite of myself and my imperfections, to share this prophetic word. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. You may be seated. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. There is such conviction in this single verse. I was convicted by this verse as well. There are so many translations that I'm sure many of you have already heard. Here at Park, we pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Other versions include, forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And forgive us our shortcomings, as we also have forgiven those who have failed in their duty toward us. There is also, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. The literal translation from Greek into English is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the Greek word debts is defined the same now as it was back then. It refers to the financial obligations that one makes to another, what they owe. The Lord's Prayer in its entirety is such a powerful pact prayer, giving glory and honor to God, acknowledging divine authority in the world and in our lives. This prayer includes petitions with us asking that in all areas of our life that God's will be done, not ours, but God's. And when we pray this prayer, we ask for provision, we ask for protection and guidance. We're asking for such big and wide and deep things. And then comes the verse, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Surely Jesus is not instructing us to pause and break away from these grandiose, majestic requests to address some bills that need to be paid. Surely as we are talking about food and salvation, about evil forces in heaven, Jesus does not instruct us to pray here about money. Indeed, he does not. While the word debts does literally refer to financial obligations that are owed, it is a metaphor for another obligation that we owe, another commitment that we must pay. As the choir gave a great introduction, it is the debt of love. Romans 13:8 says that we do owe this debt. We owe a debt of love to God and to one another. It reads, owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love fulfills the law of God. That is God's commandment. That is what we owe. Jesus cleverly uses the word debt in this way so that we can understand that love is a debt that must be paid just as our financial obligations must be paid. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God is love. We cannot give the love of God if we do not know the love of God. To know God and to receive God's love and to not share it with others as we are commanded is sin. In the Gospel of Luke, the word sin is used instead of debt in the Lord's Prayer. It reads, God, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. With this understanding, that is a harsh reality, isn't it? To not love others is sin? To be honest, there are times when I prefer that some of these other translations would be used instead of Luke's. There are times when I wish I could trespass in the Lord's Prayer. I find the idea of trespassing much more palatable, you see, than sin. It sounds much nicer, sounds much gentler, sounds much easier to digest. If we are all honest, palatable is the road that we travel most days, though, isn't it? We want to believe that our world and our schools and even our churches are safe for all, are open for all, are equitable for all. Sometimes we don't even realize that we are changing the translation of injustice and mistreatment to softer narratives so they sound more palatable, less of an offense and easier to digest. We drape trespassing blankets every day in our lives, if we're honest. Here at Park, we cover up our true and ugly sins with palatable trespassing blankets as well. We do that when we assume that because we attend a church with people from diverse backgrounds and sit next to someone in the same pew of a different ethnicity, then our work of dismantling racism is complete. As I discussed with some leadership this week, we drape cozy, palatable spreads when we say in our vision statement that we are a multi-ethnic and multi-racial instrument of transformation, and then sit silent as we peer through stained glass windows with an historically inaccurate depiction of a European Jesus, instead of the accurate image of the darker-complected Jesus Christ that the world needs to see. We here at Park participate in the perpetuation of racism and miseducation about our Savior, the light of the world. You see, our nation commonly uses trespassing blankets for month-long observances like Black History Month, when we cover up lax education and intentional misinformation that requires such an observance as Black History Month at all, that reinforces the need for a set-apart recognition of the achievements of other marginalized groups throughout the year. Instead of considering it sin, we condone this intentional activity of our educational institutions, including our churches, to teach the uncomfortable, disgusting truth about history. We forego the cold and honest, brutal truth of injustice, of mistreatment, of inhumanity, and of genocide. And we spread narratives that focus on the victory of Black Americans surviving slavery, instead of uplifting the contributions that we have made and have become a staple thread in the fabric of America. Just like slaves had to enter through the back door of the plantation house to ensure that they remained in their place and wouldn't be seen, this back door alley that we travel every February to bring these rich contributions is bittersweet in providing such a condensed and concentrated observance. Observing months like Black History Month, while necessary, also serves as an acknowledgement that none of us are receiving the education in mainstream settings through mainstream channels. Is this what paying the debt of love looks like? Is this what sharing the love that we receive from God feels like? We are called to bring justice, to act swiftly and justly, to advocate for those whose voices are silenced. And thus, I am both disheartened and honored to introduce the Calendar of Margins. It is a project that I designed to create necessary space here at Park and in our community to uplift and learn about marginalized groups in our neighborhood. I researched to find the top groups living on the margins. And justly going forward, in addition to Black History Month, Every month here at Park will provide a form of education, an opportunity to engage, and ways to take action toward change. Yes, we must call a duck a duck. We must call sin, sin. In every sense, we must be honest that that's what we are dealing with, is sin. And no change in biblical or literal translations will change that. Racism is sin, and it needs God's forgiveness. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. The word that stands out in this sentence actually is not the word forgiveness for me. It is the word as. Forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us equal to, the same way as, just like I forgive others. Help me as I help others. Save me as I save others. Reconcile with me as I reconcile with others. Do we really want God to forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us? I don't know about you, but I don't want God to forgive me as I forgive others. I'm working on it, but when I search deep within myself, I know myself to have been a conditional forgiver. I have forgiven with conditions. I'll forgive you if you really mean it this time. I'll forgive you as long as you promise not to do that again. I'll forgive you as long as you promise not to hurt me again. I'll forgive you as long as you promise to stay silent again. I'll forgive as you promise to do better again. Do we really want God to forgive us as we forgive others? Conditionally? No. We as humans are inward focused. We want God to do more than we do. In the examples I've already provided in this sermon, we want others to do more for us than we do for them. But you see, this is not the prayer that we pray every Sunday. We do not ask God to do more for us than we do for others. We do not ask God to give us special treatment or look the other way on that one thing or that one mistake or that one misstep or that one silent time. We pray this prayer asking God to hold us accountable for our treatment of others, for our behavior, for our unwillingness to reconcile, for our unwillingness to truly forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, those who owe us love, those who have fallen short just as we have fallen short. This is not a passive verse. It is not a passive prayer. This prayer calls for our activity to ignite the motion. We do and then God does. Forgive us as we forgive others. If we do not forgive, if we do not love, then in this prayer we're asking God not to forgive. If we do not forgive, if we do not love, then we are asking God in this prayer not to forgive. What an interesting scale of measurement. We are asking God to lead by our example. Where is the good news, Pastor Gia? Because things look pretty bleak as they stand. At first glance, as we dig deeper, they sure do seem hopeless and broken. But that's because we are broken. We are broken because of sin like this. What God wants is for us broken people to realize that we are broken instead of pretending like we're not. Broken is where we need to be to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, to truly open our hearts and our ears as we hold up a mirror to our own sin, to the enormity of the debt of love that we have not paid. This is where we realize how small we are and how wide and big God is, who has provided us a wonderful and a powerful 3D example in real life, in real time, of what true unconditional love looks like. what it feels like, and what real unconditional forgiveness looks like. In our brokenness and our acknowledgement of sin, when we rip off those warm and comfortable trespassing blankets, when we experience the harsh, cold reality of truth, we land right where we need to be, repentant, open, and empty for God to fill us with new life. With bigger hands and bigger hearts to roll up our sleeves and do the real hard work of loving that we are called to do, with the strength and power that only God can provide. When we pray this prayer, we ask God to hold us accountable, to shape us and to refine us and to mold us into the people that we are meant to be, paying the debt that we are supposed to pay to each other and to the world, the debt of love. And as I close this message, I invite you in repentance to pray the Lord's Prayer once again with me. And I will also take a moment, even though we have communion, we don't have to come up to the altar. You can kneel in your hearts or stand where you are as we pray this prayer together. And I would invite us to, let's replace trespasses with sin, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is against us. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And amen.